This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to, I don't know, I almost said Podcast of Thousand Holes. I feel like I should start over.
Are you farting now?
No.
Oh, you look like you were farting.
No, I'm not farting. I had some shooting pain in my area.
Oh, yes.
What did you watch this week? Episode 102.
102 Dalmatians.
No, that's...
It was the sequel.
Okay, that was the sequel.
Yes.
Was Cruella trying to make another... jacket in that one?
Honestly, I don't know. And why would it be 102 Dalmatians instead of like 202? You know, why wouldn't they double up on everything? Why was it just one more Dalmatian? Like, that's going to make a difference?
Well, okay. All right, see here. 102 Dalmatians. What's the plot? Let's see.
Oh, it's blank because there's no plot.
As she attempts to steal puppies from her for her grandest fur coat yet. So once again... she wants to steal puppies for a fur coat.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yep.
Digging the bottle of that barrel.
She wants to steal puppies for yet another fur coat.
But is it really another? Because she never got to make the first one.
That's what it is.
Okay.
Oh, you know, that is true. Would not be another.
Yeah. It would be her first.
Our first puppy fur coat. Well, I guess some people just can't be stopped or deterred when they have a destination or a goal and they're driven.
Deterred has the word turd in it.
Turd. It's not spelled the same.
Nope. What were we talking about again?
I don't know.
Podcast.
Podcasting.
Stuff we watched and things.
Oh, man. It's been a rough few days.
It has. And we're recording this on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We're staring down the barrel of another storm.
Another friggin' ridiculous amount of snow. We got what? At least 17, 18 inches last Wednesday to Thursday.
Yep.
And then now we're looking at Tuesday to Wednesday again. Was it 11 to 14, they're saying, or some absurdity? Last Tuesday, before all this started, I almost had no snowbanks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, clear grass everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could have mowed the lawn.
It was brown, but still.
Right.
It was clear.
Yeah. Could have mowed that brown lawn.
Could have mowed it. Yeah. But no, now I got a shit ton of white stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
So I guess we should talk about shows and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Primarily shows.
That's what
we do. A little bit of stuff.
I don't have any movies to discuss that I can think of.
I have one.
Cool. I'm trying to think if I've watched any trailers. I'm just going to be completely honest. I had a minor medical procedure last week. I have zero notes, but I watched everything.
Winging it.
So if it sounds like I'm unsure of myself, it's because I'm unsure of myself.
Flash. Let's jump right in.
Actually,
it was called Flash Time.
I thought it was a good episode.
It was a great episode.
I thought it was a really good episode. There's some terrorist is gonna somehow found out Argus had a nuclear device.
Yeah.
And stole it. And they were going to go all kamikaze, suicide bomber, whatever you want to call it, and detonate a nuclear explosion in the city. And we got to see Flash employ his supersonic speed or whatever he wants to call it.
Flash Time.
Yeah.
They want to call it.
Yeah.
Hence the name of the episode, Flash Time. I'm using air quotes.
I don't know if they could, I didn't hear them call it Flash Time at all.
Yes, they did.
Okay. I heard him ask Flash, and he's like, I'm in super speed. You're super speed like me. He could pull people into it and then put them back out of it.
Well, he had to put them back out of it because when he pulled them in, they'd be fine at first, but then their bodies couldn't keep up with it.
Right.
Because that was the thing. Like, it looked like time had just frozen, but it was because he was moving so fast that everything else seemed to be standing still around him. We saw a brief glimpse of it in the courtroom with him and Iris.
The thing is, though, like, this is a 40-minute episode, and everything that happens, and it happens, like, say, in a couple hours or something.
No. Remember, right in the very beginning, we get him, like, he's sweating, and he's like, yeah. I can't save this time. And then it says 8 minutes and 42 seconds earlier.
Right.
So, like, the whole thing happened in an 8-minute period.
But what I mean is, like, for us, we're watching a 40-minute episode, but it's supposed to, all this, what he did, was supposed to happen in literally a split second.
Yep.
Well, if he can move that fast, you know what I mean? Like, why doesn't he do it all the time? Like, he should be destroying everybody left and right.
He should. And we've talked about this, about how the show really, like, has been downplaying his speed in the past episodes. You know, the most that we get is him and another speedster racing alongside each other.
Right.
But there should be more like this, where time stands still and he doesn't, like Quicksilver in the X-Men movies, you know?
Right. Like, okay. So, for also, they employed in this episode, I just want to bring this up, him moving in slow motion to show how fast he was moving.
Yes.
It was kind of genius.
Yes.
Because it worked. Because I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm watching the Flash run in slow motion. And it's working.
Yeah.
This is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
going back to when he was in prison, though, and they put the secret camera there, and they caught him on secret camera running out of this jail cell and running back in.
No way it should have been able to.
No. They shouldn't even notice a blip.
Nope.
You know, because unless it would have looked like a rough cut, basically.
Right.
Because if he can really move that fast, nobody could defeat him.
Nope.
Nobody.
Nope.
Because in Justice League.
Except Superman.
Because in Justice League, that version of Flash, he was like Quicksilver. They kind of showed it the same way, where he's moving so fast, everything else looks like stopped or slow motion. Man, when Clark's eyes turn and look at him, Superman's eyes turn and look at him, that was the best.
That was great.
That movie comes out tomorrow, the 13th.
Outstanding.
I'm picking it up.
Okay.
Like, I liked it that much that I'm picking it up.
Now, are you going to wait to get the Zack Snyder cut?
That doesn't exist.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
I thought there was a Zack Snyder
cut. Sorry, Aaron.
I thought there was a cut.
And purveyors of crappy movies.
That had all the worst parts of the movie that would have been included.
No, that film doesn't exist because Zack Snyder, well, it was originally he was sad.
Yeah.
Tragically sad.
Sad.
And then
very
it comes out that he was actually fired way before the tragically sadness kicked in. Yeah.
Probably for putting out sucky movies.
Probably because Batman vs. Superman was so god-awful, horrible, terrible.
Like, abysmal.
Like, the worst movie. Not the worst movie I've ever seen. I've
Cabin
seen
Fever.
Worse. Whew, yeah. But, like, the worst superhero movie. No, because I saw that Fantastic Four that was never released, the Roger
Corman. Oh, yeah. Or the original Captain America.
Yeah, no, that wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad.
I did like Dolph Lundgren's Punisher.
Go back
old school.
There you go.
Batman vs. Superman was as bad as the special effects from the 1970s Spider-Man movies where he's walking on his hands and feet.
Yes.
Around.
Yes.
Where he's bent over walking around like that on top of rooms.
The camera.
And it's so blatantly obvious that he's been inserted into the shot. That's how bad that movie was. It's as bad as that special effect.
So we're not getting a cut?
No.
No.
Thank goodness.
No.
Thank goodness. That was a deep dig on that one.
I'm like, where did we start with this? Oh, Flash, yes. But no, this is what I've been waiting for with Flash, is showing us this kind of power, you know, where time stands still like that.
Yeah.
And it was so well done in this episode because, again, the whole thing takes place over, like, 9 minutes.
Yes.
And that's not even his time in Flash time.
No.
Like, them finding out that there was a thing and racing there took up several minutes. So this was, you know, he was in Flash time for maybe like 10 seconds of real time because you could see the explosion starting and then getting a little bigger. And you know that explosions happen very quickly.
Yeah.
So he went into Flash time just as it was starting to explode.
Yeah.
And it all played out.
And Jesse Quick was right there with him.
Yeah.
But even she was like, how'd we get here?
Yeah. And then she brought
She went
Jay.
To Earth-3 and brought Jay Garrick back, that was so cool to see him again. Every time I see John Wesley Shipp, yeah, as a Flash, any Flash, I mark out. Because I remember watching the original Flash series back when I was a teenager, like 12, 13 months
old
when I came out, you know. And so it just, I love that nod. I just love it so much that he is playing a Flash character.
And he's tired. You know?
Yes, he was tired.
I kept wondering because they had that thing where they're all running around trying to figure this out.
He's starting to sweat.
And he's sweating a little bit, and his face is turning red, and you're like, what's going on? And it's because they had to accept, you know, they had to acknowledge the fact that these guys are moving that fast. So even for them, it's taxing on them.
Yeah.
And he's like, I haven't run this fast forever. And then he came out of flash time and froze like everybody else.
Yep.
It was brilliant.
It happened to Jesse Quick later because she's not as fast. And even she – so that just really shows how much being in the Speed Force that long affected Barry.
Right.
And were you put off by the fact that it was Iris who brought up the lightning bolt?
A little bit, yeah.
Over everybody else.
They're really trying to sell her as the – the lightning rod, the one who comes up with these things that saves the day,
because
she has a purpose.
Harry not knowing, that's one thing. He wasn't there,
right?
But Sisko saw it,
yeah.
You know, Caitlin saw it,
yeah.
But then again, Caitlin was Killer Frost, so I can bypass that one.
Which again, in this episode, we got a really cool dig with Killer Frost.
And, hey,
you know, she's like, hey, protect Katie.
Yes.
You know?
And when she said protect Katie, I had to think about that.
Yeah. Like, you're like,
what the hell is she talking about?
What? And then you're like, oh.
Caitlin,
you know, this is the whole. And then Caitlin says she actually knew what was going on.
This was the first time
she was conscious while Killer Frost was.
I really enjoy the Killer Frost Jekyll and Hyde.
I do too.
Yeah, I like the way they're really doing it. I like how Killer Frost is still bad, but she's being good.
Yep.
And whenever she pops up, she just immediately accepts what's going on.
Right.
It's like, all right, whatever. This is what it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
We need to cool it down. She's like, all right, I can do that.
Yeah.
And then she couldn't because they were moving so fast that it was happening in an instant. You know, the ice couldn't form because. So,
and she got tired real fast.
Yes, she did.
And same thing with Sisko.
Yep.
And everything else. I don't know. It was well done.
It was a really well done
episode. I really enjoyed it. Probably the best. It was the best episode of the season.
Yes.
I think another big thing for me was there was no devotion in it.
Yes.
So that probably helped.
Yep.
I'm
curious because John Wesley Shipp at the end, you know, he's like, hey, I think it's about time that I got done. He's like, pass it on to another Flash. And they're like, there's another Flash. And he's like, there will be as soon as I train her.
Yeah.
And I want to know who he was talking about. Like, who's that going to end up?
Yeah, I'm curious myself.
But then we also, at the very end, got that mystery girl again.
Yes. Yeah.
Who kind of interrupted the meeting with Harry and Caitlin when she was like, hey, I understood what was going on with Killer Frost and I was aware. And she spills her drinks. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm meeting some people here. And they're like, yeah, okay, well, we got to go. Good luck with your meeting. And she's like, oh, it went great. So, like, she was there to interrupt their talk, like, to keep them from discussing this or something?
I don't know.
We know she writes in the Speed Force language.
Yeah. I think I've read some theories online of who she is. I don't remember what they said.
I've seen the theories. A lot of them seem to think that she is Barry and Iris's daughter from the future.
All right, that's what it was.
You know, because she kind of has a mix of their look.
Yeah.
And she could be a speedster type of thing. The next episode looks stupid. Yeah. I'm very mad.
I don't.
Iris becomes the Flash.
Oh, that's next episode?
Yes. Okay. And she has purple lightning. And I read the synopsis and it says they run into a meta who can swap DNA between people. And I thought, no, because if you swap DNA, you're going to be swapping hair color and skin pigmentation and genitalia and everything.
Right.
Not just superpowers. So I don't accept that. But we'll see what happens.
Okay. Legends of Tomorrow.
I both liked and disliked this episode.
What did you like?
I liked that Nora Dark actually got a little more screen time than just the psycho with the magic powers.
Yep. Yeah. She got humanized by Ray a little bit.
Yep. Yep.
I like how Damian was like, of course, being with you.
Yep.
You know, like.
Sometimes I like how goofy Damian is portrayed, you know, and sometimes I don't.
Right.
In this case, some of it was good.
Yeah.
You know, toying with the guy there that Ray hated from his last job.
And then he just snaps his neck, which he never does any of the Legends.
And that bothers me.
Yeah.
It's like the Flash, why doesn't he move so fast thing. If Damian Dark can just go snap and their necks break, why isn't he doing that to the Legends?
Stop anyone from trying to stop them from doing things.
Yeah,
exactly.
I really didn't like a lot of the stuff in this episode. Specifically, the one thing that drove me the most nuts was the showdown when he's on the rooftop and he's trying to bring Nora back up, and he lifts her all the way up and just holds her there instead of just like
pulling her forward,
like flicking and pulling her forward. Yeah. And then he's fighting off himself from the past, and
himself from the past doesn't have any magic, apparently.
Right, right.
How can he be 250 years old or whatever if in 1962 he was just normal?
Right.
So like, when did he get his? You know what I mean? Like,
there's a big problem there.
No.
Nope, that's okay. He could have just flung Nora, but instead he's fighting. And this was the whole thing last season, was that the Legends couldn't meet themselves because it would cause problems. And this is what caused all the anachronisms to begin with, was them meeting themselves.
Yeah. And now
he's physically fighting himself.
Trying to kill himself.
And changing his past because he got rid of the Doctor and blah, blah, blah. So he changed who he was.
I liked, like, Ava and Sarah having their relationship and kind of being open about it.
Yep.
I like that pretty much between the Time Bureau and the Legends, the tension's kind of gone, which I enjoy that because I thought that was done to begin with.
It was, yeah.
Rip just walks in, though, and, like, Ava doesn't run over and arrest him or do anything. They just casually talk, I thought, was not...
believable.
It was counteractive, but whatever. What do you think of Hippie Wally?
I'm not a big fan.
Neither am I, because he wasn't like that. Now he's a thief.
Now he's a thief, and he's, oh, man, I was raised.
He's a pothead thief or some shit.
I was his wingman back in Central City when some basic bitch, like, dumped him on his birthday. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the basic bitch. Oh, whoa. All right, man, I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah.
Wally, you're looking for an identity. I get it.
I don't care for it.
The hippie flash, not working for me.
I mean, all in all, I didn't mind the episode. They definitely helped bring the story forward going more. We found out now that the totem holders is who put Moloch in hell or wherever he is.
He's locked away on the spirit realm.
And because of Dark dropping Nora off the roof, she interacted with the totem.
And so corrupted it to herself completely.
Yeah, and then... at the end of the episode, she kind of gets taken over a little bit by Moloch.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Rip's like, delete this file on Ava. And then, why do they need that backstory where Ava has a secret past now that Sarah can never find out about?
I don't know. Because there has to be more drama, I guess. So,
isn't there enough?
So where we leave it, the spirit totem has now been corrupted. The water totem, we assume, has been corrupted because it's with the bad girl there.
Yeah.
The air totem, obviously, is still good.
Yeah, the fire totem is broken, but they figured out they can make cold fusion work. They can fix it.
So they're saying that basically one human being in the entire history of everything created cold fusion. Because remember, Ray has been to the future. Yeah. So one human being in the 60s figured it out. Nobody else has
ever figured
it out.
Apparently, it's just an equation.
Yeah. On a little piece of paper.
Yeah.
And stuck in a doll's head. So now he's going to have that secret. You know, what's he going to do with it? Is he going to say, I'm now the only person in the universe that knows cold fusion? Wahahaha.
Probably. It's too dangerous to just have out there.
Yeah. But now he can repair the fire totem, apparently. And then...
which, rumor has it, maybe... what's his face will end up with it?
Wally?
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. The black character he replaced. Jax.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
So that'd be Firestorm again.
Maybe. Well, that'd be interesting. Who knows?
The writers?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they do.
So we only got a couple more weeks of Legends before it's done for the season.
Right.
So. The wife and I did watch one episode of This Is Us. We watched the Vegas episode.
Okay. I didn't watch the second one either, so.
Okay. But. We watched the Vegas Baby episode one. It was okay.
Yep.
It wasn't.
It's one of those episodes that, I hate to say this, but it kind of makes me hate the Pearsons a bit. I want to say your dad raised you better than this.
Yeah.
Because this was supposed to be Toby's night, and the two of those jackasses were like, oh, I got to do my own thing. Oh,
I got to think of myself.
Yeah. And literally, well, like, Kevin?
Kevin's thinking of himself, but Randall's thinking of Deja.
Yeah.
Him and his wife had a big fight, and then he just plays it off like, this happens every few years to us, it's no big deal, but are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, that was just,
Yeah. And Kevin hears from his co-star, oh, I got written out of the movie. So he naturally assumes he also got written out?
Well, his belief was almost half my scenes were with you, so if you are not in there, then I'm not in there.
So he's a little baby, and he cries about it and goes and calls up Ron Howard and goes, you're messing up because I'm awesome and I'm great and you should keep me in. And he's like, dude, I did keep you in.
Yeah, but Ron Howard didn't take it, seemed to take it as a bad thing.
No.
But I know where
he's probably used to little babies.
That's true.
Actors and actresses.
I like that they actually got Ron Howard, though, to be honest, to be great? Ron Howard. And Sylvester Stallone to be Sylvester Stallone exactly. So far. So
yeah, it wasn't a bad episode. You know, we got to see more of the Pearson in stuff, you know.
I like Toby a lot.
I do, too.
I like his character a ton.
Yep.
You know, like,
he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Like, when he first came on the scene, I was like, oh, here's some guy just trying to pick up chicks. And, you know, he's relentless and he's going to be a pain in the ass. But, no, he's a genuinely nice person. He does good things. He cares about Kate. And he wants to be part of the family.
Yeah.
You know, they're making a family together and he sees how close they all are. And he wants to be a part of that. Isn't that great? So, I like him for that.
It's so uncomfortable.
Mike's in a lot of pain right now, so
sorry.
He's trying to keep a stiff upper lip, but
it's up there a lot. It's laugh crying, really.
Yep. Oh, surgery will do that to you.
Fudge.
Did you watch Arrow at all?
No, I didn't even make an attempt.
Arrow's getting even weirder, but basically Black Siren has taken on the mantle of Laurel Lance. So even though she's dead and everyone had a memorial erected for her and buried her, she now shows up and goes, I'm Laurel Lance and they faked my death and I've been trapped in a cave for 2 years and I finally escaped. And so now the media is like, oh, Laurel Lance is back. So now she can hide in plain sight, basically. And, and Kirk Acevedo or whatever his name is, I always know him as like that guy. He's always like an extra guy, but he does a really good job. He's a big bad guy now, and whatever. It's a crime boss. That's all I got to say about that.
I watched Lethal Weapon. I didn't think there's anything spectacular about it.
I actually didn't like this episode.
It felt
like a Meet the Parents episode.
Well, it was called The Odd Couple because Murtaugh was living with Riggs because Mr. and Mrs. Murtaugh still haven't resolved their differences, but they finally did.
Yeah, thank God.
It was okay.
Look.
This is the first episode I didn't like, and it pains me to say it almost because if Aaron's listening, he'll be like, ha ha, told you so, told you it was garbage. I mean, it took 2.5 seasons.
Right. But,
because that's who he is, which is cool. It's why I like him. But anyways,
it was a bad episode, but it was no Batman versus Superman.
God, no. If this had been episode one.
Oh, I would have been.
I probably wouldn't have watched episode two.
Yeah.
Honestly. I think they almost jumped the shark a little bit, though. When they're on the plane and the pilot gets killed and all the bad guys.
Of course he did.
Yeah, because an errant bullet went through the door and killed him.
There were so many cliches in this episode.
Yeah.
Overused tropes.
Oh, big time. And there's only one parachute. So, of course, they're going to fight off. So, of course, Murtaugh first is like, basically, fuck you, Riggs. I got the wife and family. You got nothing.
Right.
Give me the parachute.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I got stuff to live for.
You don't, garbage. And Riggs is like, I want the stuff you have, though. And Murtaugh's like, oh, Riggs, that's so great. I didn't know you wanted to be alive. You know, because even though you're breathing in front of me and everything. Okay, all right. Well, then I guess I've had those things. So you go ahead and I'll crash and die. And then Riggs is like, no, it's all right. You can take it. And, of course, they fight over the parachute in front of the open door. And then the parachute falls out the fucking plane, which that was typical. And then Riggs is just like, fuck it. He grabs Murtaugh, throws him out of the plane, and then he jumps out, but not before explaining, now we both got to jump out of this plane. I got to fly down and catch the parachute. Get it on. Come over and catch you and save us both. Thanks a lot, Murtaugh. Out the plane you go. And it's just like, there goes Fozzie over the shark. The Fonz, I mean, Fozzie. There goes the Fonz over the shark on his motorcycle.
Can you imagine Fozzie jumping a shark?
Wow! Yeah, he did.
Probably.
In one episode. Spoofing, I'm sure he did. But still, you know, it's just...
And it was not just that. I mean, that was absolutely the pinnacle of
He didn't even struggle to put the parachute on. He just flew right down and threw his arms right through the open, like, and then right over to Riggs.
Yep.
And I mean, Murtaugh, and then not even like a hook him in or make sure you have on to me. Because, like, when this parachute opens, they're going to jack up, you know, and you got to make sure you're locked into place. No, it's just.
We had the classic, you know.
And then, I'm sorry, I mean to interrupt you.
No, go right in.
The plane crash somewhere, we're assuming?
Yeah.
Everyone on it's dead, we're assuming?
Yeah.
But that's never addressed.
No.
Did it land on some innocent civilians? Did it crash into the ocean?
And this grocer
it
guy
was going
that was
to Texas
supposedly cooking meth, like, is he being brought to justice or is he charcoal?
He's probably dead. Because when we last left, he was only knocked out on the plane. He wasn't dead.
So how are they going to explain that? I mean, as it stands, they didn't have a case against him that they could prove. So
right.
Are they just going to be murderers?
Right. So, yeah, that's the other thing. Riggs and Murtaugh, are they going to be brought up on charges for this? Because they had no hard evidence. It was all circumstantial.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Mrs. Murtaugh did overhear him talking about that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So
be admissible,
that'll
be even
enough.
Though she was
that'll be enough.
Completely working with him. Yeah. And yeah. No, we had the classic, you know, Riggs is trying to get back in the good graces of his girlfriend, and she's not having any of it. So he goes out and tries to worm his way in. Come on, do this. Come on, talk to me. And she says, I can't ruin this meal. And then, of course, she's shaking the spices. Oh, she ruined the meal.
First of all, the ribs wouldn't be ruined. You just brush it off.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And then go watch the chicken. When it's golden brown, pull it. Don't you screw this up. I will. And then immediately, I do.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because what does he say? You have to distract this guy while I go grab his blueprints. And then he just literally walks into the room in plain view of everyone, reaches over, picks them up, turns around, and walks out. Like, everybody sees it and goes, what's he doing with the blueprints? Like, it wasn't subtle or anything.
And then
like,
he doesn't
crawl behind the couch and, like, try to reach up.
And then he doesn't even go out to ask him what he's doing with them. He sends Mrs. Murtaugh out to see what's going on.
Mr. Murtaugh.
Yeah, yeah.
She goes, my husband is going to go find out what's going on right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think if I had something I wanted to hide on those blueprints, I'd go get the fucking things myself.
Now, you cook.
I do.
I do as well.
Yep.
Do you need to have rolling, billowing smoke in your face before you smell that something's burning?
No.
No?
No.
No, but you can generally go, oh, something's burning.
Apparently Riggs was that distracted, though.
Yeah.
And Murtaugh.
And ignorant.
And Mrs. Murtaugh.
Yeah.
And nobody noticed until Molly showed back up.
Well, the fire alarm went off. You know,
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
which
it should have gone up.
Yeah. Why would you have a smoke alarm in a cooking truck?
Right,
most of the stuff you cook is going to smoke, especially considering it's a barbecue.
Yeah,
yeah, barbecue's going to smoke.
The only plus side to the whole thing is that
if
you enjoyed Molly and Riggs' relationship, there's a possibility they could get back together because they took steps towards repairing it. When she was like, "Look, you wanted this to work, then you need to fix things with your dad."
Yep.
Because that's the only way it's going to stop.
And now they're on hiatus for a little bit.
Are they?
Yep.
Well, after that episode.
They need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first time that I've been like, wow, this was a bad episode.
They need us all to forget about it.
Yep.
Did I watch Elliot of Vegas? The last episode I remember seeing was the boxing episode.
The divorce papers.
The divorce papers. Yes. That's right. The British fellow gets served divorce paperwork.
And tells Artem.
Yeah.
It says, don't tell anybody else. So, of course, everybody else
finds everybody
out.
Knows. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And he finds out that, you know, they all get trapped on the plane waiting for the people to show up with the
right, because they're going to have a guy's night.
Yeah. So they all get trapped on the plane waiting for the stairs to show up.
The best part. I liked Ronnie and the stripper going out and meeting guys and stuff. We've been introduced to a new possible love of interest. Who he's a cool guy. I like him on Happy Endings. But my favorite part was Captain Dave talking about divorce as the Big D.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're getting slapped in the face with a Big D. And he's like, I think you're saying that wrong. It's like, no, I've been slapped in the face with three Big Ds. And he's like, you have to realize how you're saying that.
And then finally, then he goes, no, the Big D. Oh, my God, that sounds ridiculous.
I've been saying that for so long.
The wrong way.
I like in the beginning when Captain Dave was on the wrong plane.
Yes,
the Asian guy, and he's just like, I'm on the wrong plane.
Japan, huh?
Yeah.
When the British fellow realizes he likes Ronnie.
Yep.
Oh, just because, and he does that big long speech, whatever, and he's like, and then Art was like, you can run to her. I mean, most people run to the airport to stop people, but you're running from the airport to stop, so it's the complete opposite.
And then they all show up there, and he's like, how did you get here? And they're like, Uber? He's like, no, I mean, oh, literally 1 minute after you left, the stairs showed up.
So he thinks he's got a shot with Ronnie, and he misses out.
Yep.
And then he doesn't say anything about
it. Which is fine, because I really don't want to see them together anyway.
I think it'll happen eventually.
It will. I don't want it to, but
I really enjoy this show.
Yes.
It's a fun, simple half hour.
It is.
I really enjoy
it. I loved Alan getting stuck in the overhead bin.
Oh, gosh.
Ronnie goes to open it. Where did we leave Alan?
Yeah.
She shuts it. She's like, nope, not dealing with this.
So I will say this real quick. Timeless returned last night. We did not watch it because it was on at 10 p.m.
Yep, I didn't watch it either.
So I'm sure that's actually what Kate and I will watch tonight. Will be Timeless before we end up watching last week's episode of This Is Us. I'm so excited to see Timeless
back. I am really excited as well. Apparently, by the way, This Is Us, we've got this episode that you've got to watch, and then I guess one more and it's done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the season.
Oh, wow, already.
That's what I had heard.
Okay.
Could be wrong, but... Yeah. The Detour.
Okay.
Because we didn't talk about this episode last time. You watched it and I hadn't.
The open water episode.
Yes. Yeah. The episode was called The Water.
Yes.
It was the open water episode.
It's the one where he initially is going to propose to her on the boat. And she breaks up with him before he can do it. And I like how he falls in the water. And he doesn't have a life jacket on. She dives in after him.
He says, throw me a life jacket or something.
So she jumps in. Yeah, I am the life jacket. This is the worst thing. The boat is now further away from us. And then, he keeps retching and puking, on her or whatever it is. And she seems to be okay with it.
They're gross people anyway.
They are.
They really are.
And he proposes.
Yeah, because this was a flashback. This was back when they first had the babies.
And he proposed to her, and she apparently said yes.
Yeah, because basically she was like, you're a terrible person. You know, you're irresponsible and you don't do anything to help me out with the kids and I'm just going to leave. And he's like, no, I'm a good person and I want to try to help and blah, blah, blah. And you're the terrible person. And yeah, it was a very interesting episode in that it all took place right there in the water.
Yes. And the boat comes back to them at the end. There's a lot of funny stuff that happens while they're in the water talking to each other.
Yep.
And then at the end, she's sitting there and she just can't believe that he stood her up at the altar. And then he calls her and she's just like, you need to run. Why? Look around. And she looks around. She sees all the undercover agents and all that other stuff there. The U-Piss people are still there.
So basically, this next episode, I think, is going to show us what happened in between. Because we had him going after the U-Piss woman.
Yep.
And he was like, oh, maybe I'll be with her. And then somehow between that and then this moment, he's discovered that they're being tracked by them and that there's all these agents. So I think this next episode will cover that.
It'll be interesting to see.
It will, yes.
The X-Files, did you watch it?
I did.
It was good. I liked it.
It felt more like X-Files and less like Black Mirror.
It did. It felt a lot more like an X-Files episode.
Yep. Mr. Chuckleteeth.
Okay. Who in their right mind as a kid would see that and think, oh, that's a great kid's character that I want to watch?
What are those Teletubbies with the fucking vacant faces?
Yeah, that was the scariest, creepiest kid stuff ever. Yeah.
That was. Of course, the little girl was pretty creepy looking herself.
Yeah, she was.
She looked like she was on meth or something.
Something was wrong.
Holy shit.
But basically, the long and the short of it in this episode is we have a town in Eastland, Connecticut, and there's some witchcraftery going on.
Witchcraftery and a lot of well-known but side work actors.
Yes, a lot of character actors.
Yeah.
Main character actors. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that guy was in here. Oh, that guy was on Continuum.
Or, yep.
Oh, that guy was on Dark Matter. Or that guy was on this.
Monk,
yeah, yep. Or whatever. That guy was, this girl was on this. So I noticed that too.
Yeah.
Your standard fare Canadian character actors. Because they're filming in Columbia again.
Yep.
It was good, though. It was a good X-Files episode.
Yes,
little boy is killed. Mully and Scalder look into it. Local townsfolk trying to chalk it up to
Mully and Scalder?
I do it. I'm just going to run with it.
Okay.
Look into it. It's they chalk it up to animal attack.
Which one's the dude? Mully or Scalder?
Scully is the girl.
But in the Mully-Scalder thing, which one is which?
Mully is Scully.
Okay.
Mulder is...
Scalder. Run with it. Then.
Yeah.
Go for it. I just wanted to make sure I knew.
So Scully, Scalder, no. I switched it up again. Scalder.
I'm so confused.
She says, no, this is not an animal attack. This is definitely a homicide, and maybe the animal attacked him after type of thing.
Mulder's like, there are koi wolves.
Yeah, koi wolves, yeah.
I've heard of those.
You believe it? No, I don't. But it was good. I mean, the townsfolks are involved. The local police are involved. There is an outright just cold-blooded murder in this episode. Yes, like, I didn't see that coming.
Nope.
At all.
No. Although it was kind of, I don't know, like a testament kind of thing, you know, the mob mentality, how everybody went nuts
and
jumped on this guy and he's just like, you killed my son.
And honestly, and I hate to, now I have to defend sex offenders, but it played into the stereotype of all sex offenders clearly must be pedophiles.
Right.
When in fact,
and repeat performers
or repeat offenders. Yeah. When in fact, like this guy was a sex offender. Yes. But I believe they established in the thing it, it was statutory.
Yep.
But she was 17 or something.
Yep.
So.
And it happened once.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
He had forgotten. I'm using air quotes. He had forgotten to register when he got to town.
Right.
Which is against the law.
Which is against the law. Absolutely. Yeah. Failure to register is. But no. Not every sex offender out there is A, repeat offender, B, a pedophile or a rapist.
You can get on the sex offender registry for peeing in public too close to a place where kids are.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, or you're 23, 24, and you're at a party, and the girl's 16, and she says she's 18, and then mommy and daddy are like, screw that.
Yep. Again, you're not defending them. You're just saying that
stuff happens.
It's quite easy to be labeled a sex offender.
I have not experienced –
pardon me.
Being a police dispatcher for 17 years, I've had my fair share.
Throw that out there again.
Well, yeah, dealing with – because I can't say I know sex offenders.
Right.
But I'm just saying, though, through work, I have come across incidents where, you know, someone's a sex offender and maybe they shouldn't be.
Yep.
So anyways, yeah.
I actually wrote a paper on that in school.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, about how they really need to
you know. I remember that. We had a big discussion about that. Yeah. So anyways, it was a really good episode of The X-Files.
It was. It was an X-Files episode.
Yes.
It was not a Black Mirror episode.
Right. Witchcraft was involved.
Yes. Yep, witchcraft. It was called Familiar for a reason.
Yep.
Summoning of demons.
And of hellhounds, everything
salt,
else.
Yep. Rings of salt.
Yep.
Expecting to see the Winchesters pop up.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, just to segue for a second, you saw it's coming.
Right? I did see March 29th is the Scooby-Doo episode. I watched the trailer to that. I do want to watch that episode.
Of course.
I feel like I have to watch the others to catch up. It's been a show where... This has happened already twice this season where I fall 5-6 episodes behind.
And then you don't care?
And I just can't get the drive to want to watch it, but then once I start watching it, I get into it.
Still haven't seen anything on Wayward Sisters.
I mean, I haven't watched that episode yet, but it is supposed to be happening. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see. Well, but that Scooby-Doo, I saw the Scooby-Doo trailer.
Scooby-Doo meets
the Winchesters. I really want to watch that.
And... I want to say Misha, but it's Castiel.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw he was back before. Yeah. Anywho. So, yeah, great X-Files episode. I think we have 2 episodes left for this season.
Sounds about right.
And it'll be interesting to see if they go right back into the deep, you know, deep back into mythology for the last 2 episodes. So, let's see what else. Superstore.
Superstore. Safety training.
Oh, God. That was hilarious.
That was awesome.
The defrosted.
So safety training, basically, you don't even get into safety training until like 2/3 of the way through the episode.
No, but Kelly does something stupid and Amy takes the blame for it because she wants to be Kelly's friend.
Well, she doesn't necessarily want to be Kelly's friend. She just doesn't want people to think that she hates her.
She doesn't want to be perceived as being negative to Kelly. Yes.
Yep.
And then you find out Kelly did things like hang these big
heavy metal signs.
The head with duct tape and didn't anchor anything in. And
and Mateo gets crushed.
This episode, so much of the store got destroyed from like displays falling or the cherry picker running something over.
But Sandra's holding up. Stop, Amy. Stop. She's like, you're pushing me into it.
So it was a good episode.
Yeah, Mateo has to confront Jeff because basically they're going to pay Mateo like a $1,000, you know, as long as he agrees to waive all rights.
Yeah, because one of the signs fell on him and it hurt his wrist.
Yep. Yeah. And so they're going to pay him $1,000. But the thing is, he has to fill out all these forms, including a background check. Yes. Because undocumented. So he's like, nope, I refuse. And they see that as a negotiation tactic. So they're like, all right, we can go $1,500. And I'm watching Jeff go up, and he's like, look, $3,000 is the final. Well, I thought you said $1,000. Yeah, $3,000 is the real final number. Pretty soon it gets up to like $50,000.
$6,000. Yeah, yeah. When they have the meeting where they each are $50,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our cap. And he can't do it because he finally admits to Jeff. He's like, I'm undocumented. That's why we broke up.
Yeah.
I really like
you. I can't transfer to another store. I never disliked you. I'm not documented. I can't take this money. That's why, blah, blah, blah. And then, but we don't see Jeff's reaction.
No.
Because then it cuts to, Dean is going to play the video footage of Kelly hanging the signs to show that Amy didn't do it.
Right.
And they end up, she ends up showing the footage of,
Jonah and Amy kissing
from the tornado from end of last season, whatever it was.
Yep.
Which Kelly and Jonah weren't even dating then.
No, Kelly wasn't even around.
Yeah, that was before they were dating, so that shouldn't fall on anything.
Nope.
But last episode, of course, Amy admits to Dina she has a crush on Jonah.
Yep.
And then Dina's like, I think everyone knows about how you about Jonah now.
Yeah. It was a good episode.
It was. It was good. It was funny.
Yep.
It's a funny episode. Hey, I saw a trailer for the new upcoming season of Santa Clarita Diet.
Did you see that? Oh, yes. Oh, I'm so great. Excited for
it
that show.
It looks very good. Oh. Like March 23rd or something like that. So.
God, we got so much stuff coming up in March.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Well, let's see. What else?
You did not watch The Blacklist?
No. How was it?
It was good, except there was one very glaring part in it. And I'm just going to say it right now.
Yeah.
There's this woman who, you know, she messes with diseases and she has this whole big convoluted plan. And I'm not going to tell you what her plan is. But when you were a kid, did you ever get one of those tests where it was like a little plastic disc and it had like 10 needles in it and they just like punch it into your skin and that's it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a TB test or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You just go boop, boop, and done.
Yeah.
So she puts a sample of the disease in this disc and then puts one of those little things on top of it so that the needles will be infected with it. And then she puts it on the palm of her hand and is wearing a plastic glove and pulls the plastic glove so that the needles all poke through. And you can see this sticks up like an inch.
Yeah.
You know, there's like an inch of a dozen needles sticking out of her hand. So then she walks up to this guy that she wants to get and she goes, let me shake your hand. And you can see the needles sticking out of her hand. He goes, okay, and shakes her hand. It's dumb. Like there's no subtlety there whatsoever.
She has a plastic glove on.
Yeah. Well, she's wearing another glove on top of that, which punctured the holes through it. And he's like, okay, I'll shake your hand. Like, I'm not a germaphobe, but if someone wants to shake my hand, I look, I glance, I want to see if they've got something in their hand. Like, did they spit?
That was stupid.
Is there a shit streak there because they don't know how to wipe properly? You know? Yeah. So you want to look. And this guy was just like, okay, shake your hand. Ow! My hand hurts! And then right after that, he's like, oh, and she pulls out a gun and goes, okay, let's go into your house. Like, why couldn't she have pulled out the gun and gone,
Yeah.
I've tagged you. Now you're infected.
Smacked him on the back first.
Yeah. It was dumb. Very dumb.
Sounds dumb. I watched S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. Their 100th episode.
Oh, it was a good one.
It's all been building to this.
It was a good episode.
It was.
It's when the bomb exploded at the end of the last episode and destroyed all of the
monoliths.
Monoliths. Which then, where did they get the monolith to send them back in time?
That's a good point. Paradox.
Destroyed all the monoliths and opened up a wormhole thing that sent fear out to everybody.
Boy, didn't that look like the crack in the universe from Doctor Who?
It really did.
Didn't you expect him to show up in the TARDIS and just be like, I got this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Loved
it. It was a solid episode.
It was.
Yeah.
They had to reseal that, and Coulson got the, and you've probably seen it in another place, I'm going to go with Buffy or Charmed. They both did episodes like this where the person, you know, one of the main characters is in an asylum, and they're like, no, everything that you've done so far has been imagined. You know, you didn't really do that. In this case, it was the character who plays Deathlok. Who was talking to Coulson and saying, none of that ever happened.
Yeah.
You were stabbed in the heart. No alien technology brought you back to life. I am an EMT standing over you right now trying to save your life. You've created this all in your head as a way to get around the trauma of what's happened and try to cling to something. Think about it. The students you never got to teach. The daughter you never had. The love life.
Space.
The family. Yes, going into space. Like a flying car. I mean, come on, man. Look at what you've imagined in your brain. So they really
And it really makes you go, Shit.
It really did.
Maybe it really is all.
Like, was all of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just a fever dream of a dying man? And which, that's why in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Coulson has never showed up, because he really was dead?
That'd be a good way to kind of, like, yeah, yeah. But then the real Deathlok shows up and shoots, you know, fake Deathlok in the head.
Yeah. Yeah, and they close it out. You know, they close the portal, and
they get it's now stabilized, and
and then we get what we've been waiting for.
We get the wedding, which it wasn't built up towards it.
Nope, like, we didn't see it coming.
Well, yeah, it was unexpected. But we get the wedding of,
it was still nice. Of
Fitz and Simmons.
Yep, and then we got the
big reveal of who Deke is,
which we all had that figured out weeks ago.
Yep,
they're like, oh, we do have a genetic match to two people, these two. And he's like, yeah, I got these rings, and that one looks an awful lot like one that my grandmother used to wear all the time. Yeah, he's their grandson.
Yeah.
Big surprise.
I just think it's funny. Way
to bury the lead.
He's like, so you got the rings. Yeah, it's amazing how people pawn wedding rings. I had to get a small one from his little boy hands, which I thought was funny.
Yep.
And then I found one just like the one my mom used to wear all the time.
Grandma.
It was my grandma. No, her mom wore it. His mom wore it. And it belonged to his grandma.
Yep.
So. That was cool.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the episode.
I did.
I thought it was good.
It was a good episode. It would have been cool if they could have devoted a bit more time to the whole, you know, is this really happening or is this fake? But they just shut the door right on that. They're like, nope, it was fake. This all really did happen.
Which, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. does have a tendency to do.
Yep. Yep, definitely. I watched a semi-documentary show this week.
Oh, what'd you watch?
It was called It's You I Like.
Okay.
And it was on PBS, and it was the tale, well, not really the tale, but it was an honoring of Mr. Rogers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, based on that song, It's You I Like, which he actually wrote for Tony Bennett to sing to Lady Elaine Fairchild.
Okay.
And we got to look back. Michael Keaton hosted it. I did not realize that that's where Michael Keaton got his start on TV. He was one of the – he says, I was sometimes the kid that got to flick the little switch and make the trolley go into the neighborhood of make-believe. Yeah, Michael Keaton was a backstage guy. He actually got into one of the skits that he showed, which was the Flying Zucchini Brothers, which was the lamest, you know, acrobatic guys in the world. You know, like two guys would jump off a little footstool, and then the other two guys would wait till they landed and jump onto a little footstool and go, ah! And he was one of them. They, like, paused it, and he's like, look, there I am. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that is cool.
It started in 1963 and went until about 2001. Second longest running kids show next to Sesame Street. Sesame Street beat it only because it went off the air. It was running before Sesame Street was.
Right.
But they talked – it wasn't a documentary in like this is how the show started or anything. It was more just like looking back at what a great guy he was.
A tribute to Fred Rogers?
Pretty much, yeah. They had Sarah Silverman was on there. They had some of his guests from the past or some of the people who had been on the show. They had his wife on there. What was his – I can't remember the guy's name.
Mr. McFeely?
Mr. McFeely was on there, but I'm thinking of he's an actor. He's Barney's dad.
Oh, John Lithgow.
Thank you, John Lithgow. I couldn't think of the name. He was on there, and he's like, yeah, I remember when this show came on, and my first kid was like 5 years old. I'm like, damn, you're old. But – it was good. It was fun to watch it and, you know, go down memory lane. They'd always put in the corner what year this came on, you know, so you could see him going through the years. But, you know, they were talking about how he was always honest with kids. Like, that was one of his big things is he wanted kids to know the truth. Like, that's why he had the video, like, he had a little kitten. And he's like, now we're going to show you a video of the mama kitten giving birth, you know, and literally showing the baby falling out of her butt.
Picture, vagina, come on.
Yeah. So... I guess one of
evidently
the things
you didn't see that video.
Oh, I did. One of the things was he invited Big Bird over, and
oh, I remember that. Yes.
Well, apparently Fred told him, he's like, I want you to come to my house and take off the costume so its kids can see that, you know, there's a difference between real and make believe. And the guy was like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm Big Bird. I can't do that.
I don't think Carol Spinney could do that.
And they were talking to Carol Spinney on this show, you know, and he was like, yeah, I told him I couldn't do it. You know, I respected the man. I appreciated. He goes, that's fine. That means you can be in the neighborhood of make-believe, but I can't have Big Bird in my house because Big Bird isn't real.
Yeah.
He's like, and what happens in my house is real. So he wanted to do that, but he was completely fine with Carol Spinney. So Carol was Big Bird in the neighborhood of make-believe and came and visited all of them and then left. So that was kind of cool, you know, that kind of stuff. But he liked to be honest. You know, he talked about death. you know, the death of his dog and how things die, and it's okay to cry and it's okay to be upset. And so it was a good trip down memory lane for me. I really liked it. It was an hour and a half long, and every 25 minutes or so, you'd get the good solid 7-minute block of them going, great shows like this are made possible.
Oh, that's right. The fun drive is on. Yes.
So, yeah.
I'll have to try to watch it without the interruptions for the push drive.
Yeah, it's called It's You I Like. And
check that out.
Yeah, it was good.
You know, actually, now that I think about it, my wife and I did watch a documentary as well.
Oh, yeah?
We watched May It Last, A Portrait of the Abbott Brothers.
Oh, nice.
Are you familiar with their music?
Nope.
Okay, well, it's, I don't know if you want to call it country folk or whatever
it is. That would be why I'm not familiar with it.
I don't know. I think it's great.
Yep.
I love it. Anyway, so Judd Apatow directed it.
Oh, and Judd Apatow was on this, by the way.
Oh, that's funny. He directed it and filmed it. He co-directed it with another guy, Michael Bonfiglio.
Ooh.
I don't know.
That's a name and a half.
Yep. But anyways, it essentially, like, it starts out in 2016 at Madison Square Garden, and they're about to make their debut at Madison Square Garden. You know, they've never played there before, and it's still, you know, Madison Square Garden's the biggest, most famous arena in the world, if you will, for a lot of people, whatever. And if you go to New York, you play Madison Square Garden, you've finally done it.
If you make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Pretty much, you know, like I'm going to Madison Square Garden Friday to watch wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's been a lifelong dream to go to the Garden to see wrestling live. It's just something it is and was happening finally. That being said, then it cuts back in time to like 2014. So obviously they started filming this documentary in 2014 and then concluded it there. But it goes back to all the way to when they started. And they apparently were like in like a punk band together. And it's hilarious to see that considering what they play for music now. And they're from North Carolina and they still live like on the same street they grew up in or whatever, if you will. Like they each live down the road from their parents and houses of their own. And we got to watch their style of how they write music. And it was fascinating as all hell, actually. And how the music affects them and how their lyrics affect them. And how, like, you know, it was really, really good. It's on HBO. And it's still on HBO. Again, it's called May It Last, Portrait of the Abbott Brothers. And even if you don't like music or like their music, it's a really good documentary just about people mm-hmm. and artists and how they get what they are and where they are and everything with these two guys. So it was really, really enjoyable.
Cool.
I give it a hard sell. You probably definitely should check it out.
Nice.
Yeah. And that being said, speaking of HBO, April 10th is the Andre the Giant documentary, and I saw another new trailer for it last night. I cannot say enough how much excited I am to watch this. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be good. There's a new series coming out on HBO, and I think it's coming out soon. I keep checking, but it hasn't come out yet. Bill Hader stars as a hitman who's decided that
yes,
he doesn't want to do that anymore, so now he's an actor.
Yes, we saw a trailer for that, and it looks good.
It does look
good. It looks really, really funny.
I'm excited to see that when it comes out. It's called, like, Barry, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Looks good. Looks solid. I only watched one other thing. Did you watch anything else? Did I forget about a show? I mean, we established I don't have notes.
Right. That's all the shows that I have notes on. I watched one movie, and that was about it. Yeah, that's all the shows that I have notes on.
Okay. Well, I watched... first, I don't know, maybe up to episode 7 or 8 now of Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah. I've watched zero of
the season of Jessica Jones. It's okay.
Is it really lacking without Kilgrave?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Trish is a douchebag in this season.
Oh, she was always cool in the last season.
Not in this season.
Oh, that's too bad.
She's like, you gotta watch it, but she,
oh, yeah.
Her character's like, hyper-aggressive to prove herself.
Oh.
So she makes poor decisions and does a lot of dumb shit.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't want to give it away. You haven't watched any yet.
I will be, though. It's my plan to burn through
it. It's easy to watch.
Yep.
Like, I watch an episode and it gets over and I have no problem hesitating starting another episode. I did not struggle through it like I did Luke Cage by any means. I actually think it's a little bit better than season one because we didn't have to, it's weird. I was about to say, we don't have to do as much character establishment. But actually, this season, they've done more character establishment almost than they did last season.
Nice.
Because we're learning more about the accident and what happened to her and stuff like that.
Nice.
She's still an alcoholic bitch, though, for the most part.
Okay.
You know, and shits on people trying to help her and is just rude to people and
Yeah.
She doesn't make herself very likable at times. And then when she tries to make herself likable, and people don't just automatically, you know, oh, well, okay, then she gets attitude with them.
Gotcha.
I like it so far.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it.
I'm definitely going to finish it. So
good.
You got anything else?
Yeah, I watched the movie Annihilation in theaters.
Oh, how's that?
It was interesting. It's based on a book series, three books. The first one's called Annihilation. I don't know what the other ones were. I went with my friend Kelly, who has read the books. She said, this is nothing like the books.
Okay.
She said that it is like they took their own take on everything, which is kind of good because I guess in the books, nothing was ever described. Like everything was mysterious. So you had to use your own imagination to just figure out what it might be like, which was, she said was very creepy. But basically, this is the premise of it, is that something falls from the sky and hits a lighthouse. As a result, this shimmering dome appears around the lighthouse and is expanding outwards. And these scientific military people have been sending groups in, and then the groups never come back out. So now Natalie Portman is part of the next group that's going to go in. Yes, Mike.
Why do they keep sending in groups if they're not coming out?
To hopefully find the ones that went in. It's expanding, so it's getting bigger. So they want to know what's going on. They're trying to find out. They're trying to make their way to the center of it, which is the lighthouse. Then figure out what's going on so that they can either stop it or be okay with it. But,
so what's Natalie Portman's character? Is she a scientist or something?
Yeah, she's a biologist.
So she's the most expendable biologist they have, apparently?
It's the way that they get her to go in there is interesting. You'll have to watch it to see, but basically it's dumb.
Okay.
I use the word interesting when I should use the word dumb.
Okay.
Like, she's not even supposed to be there. And then they're like, well, you're going with them. And she's like, okay.
Did the other guy not show up?
No.
Did Boss go away on town?
Oh, no. This is even dumber. So it's very convoluted because in the middle of it, like, it'll say Area X. You know, you'll go to black screen, it'll say Area X. And you're like, oh, it's Area X. But it starts off instead with a back shot of her screwing a black guy. And you're like, this is Area X? Are we racist? You know, what's up with that? And no, that was just part of the backstory so that you know what's going on to bring us to this point. Except it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. There's also one of these, like, hidden symbolism things that I saw. I'll get it. I saw it, and I'm like, ooh, that's going to play into it. That's going to be a big part of it. And it never played out. Like, it literally looks like it was something left there for everyone to discover and go, oh. And then at the end, they were going to be like, ta-da, with a reveal, but they never did it.
Huh.
So it's like it's left hanging there. And I didn't like that.
John, you have a look of pain on your face.
Yeah.
How good the movie was.
It was not terrible. I don't need to see it again. It was enjoyable adjacent. Like, parts of it were really good. It was really pretty-looking movie. But there were a lot of parts where I just turn and look at Kelly and be like, why didn't they just do this? You know? They have a guard tower. They're on an old abandoned military base. They're in a guard tower, which has those winding stairs that go up.
Yeah.
They hear something. Somebody's standing guard. Not in the guard tower, in a little lemonade stand, apparently, down on the ground level. And they hear something coming, so three of them stand there. Instead of going up to the top of the guard tower where you have height as an advantage, you've got a narrow choke point where they have to climb up the stairs, or at the very least, if they can climb up the side. So instead of being strategic and tactical, they sat there on the ground with all of their flanks exposed in the middle of the night. I was like, why didn't they take a more tactical? Anyway, there's a lot of that. It's very pretty, but they don't explain a lot. They don't give you a lot of stuff to satiate your curiosity. I'm not gonna give it a hard sell. When it comes out on like Netflix or something, maybe check it out. Some night you're like, oh look, Annihilation. I remember John talking about that. He said it was weird. I'll check it out. I got nothing better to do with my life.
I'm just gonna wait till we're done recording and ask you to tell me what happens.
Sure.
I don't ever have to watch it.
Other than that, I just saw one trailer that I thought was really cool.
Was it the one you shared with me?
No.
Okay, what was
which one did I share with you?
Cobra Kai.
Oh, my God. Dude, I've seen like three trailers for Cobra Kai since then. Holy God, doesn't that look like
a good show? It looks great. It looks really great. Oh, I can't wait. I'm excited about it.
He's rebuilding the dojo.
Yeah.
And Daniel's a dink.
I love the part where the guy go, "Master, how do you want me to wash this window?" I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's doing the like
the wax on, wax off thing. Yeah, yeah.
That's so perfect. Oh, it's gonna be so good. Oh yes. No, I saw one for Christopher Robin.
Oh, In Search of Christopher Robin or no, some shit like that.
No, this is Christopher Robin. This is a live action.
Yeah, I heard
about
it. Ewan
McGregor is Christopher Robin, and he's grown up, and he has a job and a family, and he doesn't like his life very much. And you see most of it just as him being bullied around by his boss and trying to, like, make things okay with his family. And then he's sitting on a park bench, and he's like, what to do, what to do? And then you hear the ever-familiar Pooh voice saying, what to do? And he turns around, and there's a CGI but stuffed Pooh sitting there. And he's like,
Is it the Pooh from the cartoon Pooh?
Yes.
Or is it the Pooh from the stuffed animal version, which looks like, you know?
Oh, it looks like the stuffed animal version, okay. You know, the one that looks kind of like velvety. And,
yes.
But it's the voice of the cartoon Pooh. You know, immediately recognizable. And he turns around, he's like, I'm cracking up. And he goes, oh, I don't see any cracks, Christopher Robin, just a few wrinkles. And you're like, oh! And then it just says, you know, coming soon. You're like, that's going
to
be cool.
I'm going to have to watch the trailer straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's cool. Your boy might like it. Yeah. It's got Pooh Bear.
Oh, God. Have you heard the Sumsums?
Yes.
Yeah. He loves that. The Mickey Mouse character, the Disney character Sumsums.
Oh, yes.
My wife just bought him some for Easter. My three-year-old, almost 3 years old, just bought him some for Easter to put in his basket, because in my house, Easter bunnies does not exist. It's fun to pretend, but he's not real. Same thing with Santa Claus, apparently. It's fun to pretend, but he's not real. In my wife's opinion, unless you're going to church on Easter, it's a fake holiday.
Does she go to church on Easter?
Oh, she used to be forced to, yeah, and we do go, yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a fake made-up holiday for everybody else.
The logic is sound.
It is kind of, yeah.
There's got to be a little magic in your world.
But my wife does believe in dinosaurs. She knows they exist because it's scientifically proven.
Yep, that's good.
You know,
good. Sounds like she's a logical person.
She is. She's not illogical.
But that's all I got for this week.
I saw a trailer for The Grinch that comes out in December.
I haven't watched that yet. How are they going to make yet another movie about this guy?
It's not How the Grinch Stole Christmas from the looks of things. It's just a live action. It's not live action either. It's like CGI.
Yeah.
Grinch.
Yeah.
So.
Whatever.
Maybe there's some Grinch Stole Christmas in there at some point. I don't know.
Maybe. So you got anything else?
I don't know. I got nothing else. I'm good to go.
So I guess that's a podcast then.
It is a podcast, I'd say. So thanks for listening. If you want to go online. What?
Nothing. Continue with your thought.
If you'd like to reach out to us and converse with us, you can. On Twitter. Just Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
The show is at What Did You Watch, and Facebook is What Did You Watch This Week, and thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you, next week.